Welcome in. It is a Saturday edition of Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until 3:35. Then we'll turn it over to Charlie and Dave for some Nationals baseball. We'll get into some Nationals discussion coming up around 2 o'clock. I want to talk about the Nats' level of play, and is that something that we think can be sustainable? This team is currently at 500. Do we think that they can stick around this for a while, or is this something that, you know, maybe you start to have some regression and fall back into what we've seen the last couple of seasons, more of a below 500 ball club? So we'll talk about that coming up at 2 o'clock. Maury Brown of Forbes going to join us. I want to get his thoughts. He's really good on the business side of baseball. With this salary cap and floor proposal, CBA coming up, what are some of the ramifications? What are some of the things that could pop up with that? Also want to talk about some things to watch for coming up in the month of June for the Nationals. Also want to get into some Commanders discussions. Now, we had some discussion about the wide receiver room yesterday on Grant and Danny. I want to talk about the guys behind Terry McLaurin. And I think that that receiver room really needs Terry. Probably really needs somebody else for me to feel real comfortable. But we'll see if, you know, if the guys behind them are able to step up. So we'll talk about that coming up at 1 o'clock. Also, you know, I want to get into a little bit about the NBA's anti-tanking. We'll do that a little bit later this hour. But let's start with the big sports game today. I know AY was talking about the Champions League final. I'm sure a lot of people care about that. I'm not going to dive into that one as much, but I'll have it on, keep you up to date if there's anything big going on in that one. But I think the biggest sporting event going on today in the U.S. is Spurs Thunder Game 7, Western Conference Finals. And I think this game is going to be a lot of fun. And watching Game 6 and seeing that level of play that the Spurs came out with, knocking down threes, able to get going early. You know, role players always play better at home. We talk about that all the time. And to see what the Spurs role players were able to do early on in that matchup, if they can replicate any of that going into OKC, they like their chances, but OKC is probably going to get a bump from their role players in this one. No Jalen Williams, no J-Dub. He's going to sit this one out. Probably the right decision. He didn't really do much for OKC in Game 6. You've had to play a lot of the postseason without him, so just go ahead and get back into your rhythm, not have to upset any sort of rotations or anything to leave him on the bench knowing that he's not 100%. So this is going to be a fun one to watch tonight because I think whoever wins this series, I'm going to feel pretty confident, is going to be able to beat the Knicks. We'll see if that ends up becoming the true possibility and if that comes to pass. But I think when you look at this matchup tonight, this is one of those things that Wemby, if he can win this one, although Wemby's acting a little bit strange with the media the last couple of days, so you know maybe it's a little tough to pass him on as the face of the league if he's not willing to accept some of that responsibility. With the media, I know immediately fans go, well, they don't owe you anything. I'm not the guy that's like, well, it's part of their contract. I don't care as much. But if you want the big spotlight, if you want to become the face of the league, you kind of have to deal with some of the extra stuff, even if it's not always fun. That's something that the top guys in every sport deserve a lot of credit for, whether it's, you know, Shohei Ohtani, he deals with the media just fine, and he's got extra presence just because of, you know, the amount of press that covers him from his home country of Japan, on top of the fact that all the American reporters are going to be a part of it anytime he pitches, anytime something big happens. Aaron Judge in baseball, you talk about Connor McDavid in hockey, you talk about LeBron, Steph Curry, Patrick Mahomes in the NFL, like, they face the music. They're part of it. So that is something that comes with it. But I think this is a interesting discussion that comes up because tonight's game is going to be a good one. I'm really excited to see how it goes. I would love to see the Spurs win it, and then that would mean that you're going to have another year with a different champion, whether it's the Spurs or the Knicks. Haven't had back-to-back champions in the NBA since 2017-2018 when the Warriors went back-to-back, and in the last 7 years, you've had 7 different champions. So if the Spurs win tonight, that means you're going to have 8-for-8 with either the Knicks or the Spurs getting it done. But I think the discussion that I want to have off of this, and feel free to chime in if you'd like, 800-636-1067, is I'm not sure if parity is the best thing for the NBA. Because if you look at other leagues, I think that is a really good thing. I think the NFL has built its empire on the fact that you can go from worst to first in a lot of cases pretty quickly. Look at the last two teams that have lost in the NFC Championship and in the Super Bowl, in the Commanders 2 years ago in the NFC Championship game, and the Patriots last year in the Super Bowl, where they were picking top three, and the Commanders in one season were in the NFC Championship game, and then 2 years after picking third, the New England Patriots were in the Super Bowl. Like, you can turn things around so quickly in the NFL, and there is so much parity that even though, you know, Kansas City has been a dynasty of sorts, even though New England had a dynasty of sorts, or not even of sorts, had a dynasty, and multiple of them, really, when you think about, you know, the iterations from the first couple that they won with Brady to the last couple that they won with Brady in a totally different rosters. But I think when you look at the NBA, they've always been a league that gets its best play and gets its best publicity when there is a dynasty, when there is a hated villain, or someone that, even if they're not hated, everyone kind of knows that they're the team to watch and they're the team to follow. I mean, this isn't something new either. I mean, going back to Magic and Bird, right? Those Lakers and Celtics teams, you knew that those were the teams. I obviously didn't get to watch them, but the Bulls dynasty in the 90s, you had the Lakers dynasty in the 2000s with Kobe and Shaq. You had the Miami Heat for a little while. You had the Golden State Warriors for a while. And right now, there isn't one in the NBA. There isn't a dynasty. I mean, it felt like the Thunder might be on the verge, and we'll see if they win tonight and then they win the title. Then you could say they're going on their way because they would have won back-to-back. But, I mean, I don't know if parity is great for the NBA because unlike other sports, when you ask someone who their football team is, they're generally going to give you a straight answer of, oh, I'm a Commanders fan. Oh, I'm an Eagles fan. I'm a Chargers fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. They're going to tell you the team they cheer for. Same thing with baseball, right? You say, who do you cheer for baseball? Or you know, maybe they don't care about baseball, but if they do, they'll generally give you a team. Like, I cheer for the Nationals. I cheer for the Braves, whatever it is, right? How many times when you ask people nowadays, who's your basketball team? They go, you know, I kind of cheer for LeBron.
A lot.
Right? All the time. And so it's a league that, especially during that time period, so LeBron was drafted in 03. My time growing up, I would say by the time I got to being around a teenager and more, the league was so built on stars versus teams. And so many people would cheer for, hey, I cheer for LeBron. Hey, I follow Kevin Durant. Hey, I follow Kyrie Irving. I follow take your picks. You know, Steph Curry stayed in the same spot. So, you know, I think a lot of people have become Warriors fans because of it. But I'm curious, when Steph hangs it up in a couple of years, are they still Warriors fans, right? So there are so many people that are built on the player first over the team. And the funny part about this now, Strobes, is I don't know who's taking the mantle from LeBron on this. And that's why I think this Western Conference Finals series is so interesting, because you would generally think the back-to-back MVP could be that guy, or Victor Wembanyama, the alien, could be that guy. But when's the last time you saw a Wemby jersey out in public?
I saw a Commander's Wembanyama jersey at Nats Park.
Which is incredibly
That's
random.
A real thing.
When's the last time you saw an SGA jersey out in public?
Never.
But how often do you see LeBron jerseys out in public?
Every day.
Right? You see Steph Curry jerseys out in public every day. You see those people all the time. So who's taking over? And I'm wondering if you're starting to get back to maybe a team level where people care more about the team than the player, because I don't know who's taking over in terms of players. If you look at the top-selling jerseys this year, it's interesting because you look through this list, and these must just be massive in their markets, because I don't see any of these jerseys with the exception of a few. So number one this season in top-selling jersey, Steph Curry. We just talked about that. You see that everywhere. Number two is a Lakers Luka Doncic jersey. I think I've seen a few of those out in the wild, but not a ton. Have you seen a Knicks Jalen Brunson jersey around?
I've seen a couple.
Okay.
Seen a couple. But there's a lot of New York fans around here.
Yeah. We just talked about Wemby. He's number four. I haven't seen many. I've seen maybe one or two, a handful at most. LeBron's number five. Here's another guy that I think could take that mantle of being the face of the league, but he needs to get a little bit further in the playoffs. Anthony Edwards.
Right. That's like the 1A for me, because I think the difference between SGA and Ant is SGA doesn't play the game in a way that people get super excited for. Although he dominates and he's the back-to-back MVP, he does it by shooting mid-range shots, getting to the free throw line often. He plays the game a lot differently than a guy like LeBron or Ant, who's high-flying. They dunk the ball a lot. They're great shooting from the outside, step-back threes in people's faces. Like, that's not necessarily SGA's game, so people don't get as excited about him as other guys.
Yeah, I think the main thing for him is the flopping and free throws, because I don't think people mind mid-range as much, because Michael Jordan lived in the mid-range, Kobe lived in the mid-range. Even a guy like KD, who's so unique, he generally tries to live in the mid-range. Kawhi. Like, those are pretty popular players overall, but I do agree that his game isn't as exciting as some of these other guys. Jason Tatum is number 7. I've seen a little bit around here, but that's probably just because the Celtics are such a popular franchise, but I haven't seen like an exceptional amount. I'd still say LeBron and Steph are number 1. And then SGA is number 8. Cooper Flagg is number 9. Jokic 10. And then the last 5 would be Kevin Durant, Tyrese Maxey, Devin Booker, Cade Cunningham, LaMelo Ball. I mean, at most of these top-selling NBA jerseys, the top 15 strobes, I've seen more than one of these, maybe with like 3 guys.
Which one do you see the most, you'd say,
LeBron.
Outside of LeBron?
Steph.
Steph, okay.
I mean, I feel like those are the ones that you see, LeBron and Steph.
Right.
And that's what I think is the issue for the NBA.
And that was the rivalry of that generation. People
right.
our age, Toby, grew up with Warriors Cavs being the series almost every single year.
You knew it was going to be the series.
But we got tired of it, was the thing. I think parity was kind of refreshing at the time for basketball. But now we've gotten to a point where they've had 7 different champions and we're like, this isn't as fun anymore. It was good when it was a rivalry in this finals.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a fine line, and I wonder if it's gone a little bit too far for the NBA, because generally, when you think parity, that's a good thing. You want everybody to have a shot. That's great for the league. But when you think about where this league is at right now for the NBA, it's not stock up. I wouldn't say it's majorly stocked down or anything, but if anything, it's kind of stabilized and not growing when you see other leagues growing. You know, we're going to talk about Major League Baseball in a little bit, and I'm very interested what Maury Brown's going to say coming up at 2:30, but that's a league that seems like with the arrow trending up, hopefully this lockout impending that isn't anything crazy, because I think that could kill some of the momentum, but that's an arrow trending up. The NFL has increased its salary cap by over $100 million over the last couple of seasons, so that's obviously major trending up. You know, hockey, I don't know where you would say that arrow was trending, but I wouldn't say it's going down. I wouldn't say it's going massively up, but even their salary cap has gone up significantly. Meanwhile, for the NBA, their salary cap's not going up next season. And so when you look at where they're at, I just think it's very interesting that in a time where conventional wisdom would say, yeah, it's a good thing for everybody to have a chance to win, the NBA is not thriving by any means.
In D.C., though, we need that hope.
Oh, yeah.
That with parity, that means our Wizards can win one in our lifetime.
100%. You want to hop in, 800-636-1067. Do you think parity is a good thing for the NBA or not? I mean, there's a chance that we have an 8th different champion in the last 8 seasons if the Spurs win tonight. If OKC wins, they have a chance to at least go back-to-back for the first time since 2017 and 2018 and maybe put a little bit of this discussion to bed. 800-636-1067. Toby Altizer taking you up until Nats baseball here on The Fan. Toby Altizer, 106.7 The Fan, taking you up until Nationals baseball. 3:35 will be Nats on deck, getting you set for game 2 of the Nats and the Padres with Charlie and Dave. First pitch just after 4 o'clock today right here on The Fan. Going to waltz down Half Street and enjoy some baseball later today. Beautiful day out. If you haven't got tickets already, maybe get out to the ballpark today. Strobes, there's not many times I've gone to a ball game and regretted going to a ball game. There is one time I can think of. That's a time for a story for another time. But very few times, especially on a day like today, C.J. Abrams bobblehead giveaway day, Padres in town, good pitching matchup, Michael King and Foster Griffin. Probably a good day to get out to the yard.
Even if somebody gets blown out, at least somebody was scoring runs.
Well, that's the beautiful part about Nationals baseball this year. The chances of you showing up to a 1-0 game are slim to none.
Somehow I've been to like 3. other, where it's been like 2-1.
Yeah, they're slim to none. Even though the Padres' offense was struggling to score, they scored runs yesterday. The Nationals scored some runs. What was it, 7-5, 12 total runs yesterday? So regardless, you're going to get runs scored. Beautiful day. Bobblehead giveaway. Get out to the yard today if you haven't got tickets already. All right, so we'll get into some Nationals talk coming up at 2 o'clock. Continuing to talk about the NBA, and I think this is an interesting discussion about, is parity a good thing or a bad thing for the NBA? I mean, general consensus thoughts would be, or conventional wisdom would be, yeah, of course parity is a good thing in a league. I mean, nobody wants to see the Dodgers go for 3 in a row this year, right? Nobody was looking for the Chiefs to go for 3 in a row in the NFL. But I also don't know that Warriors-Cavs was the worst thing for the league when we think back to that time frame where they were meeting in the finals every single year. I don't know that the Bulls winning 6, 2 three-peats with Michael Jordan in the 90s was a bad thing. I don't know that Kobe and Shaq going on their run or the Heat going on their run together. I don't know that that was necessarily a bad thing for the league. So is parity now where you've got 7 teams with 7 championships, 7 different champions the last 7 years, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Skip in D.C. Skip, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. I think if San Antonio wins tonight, we could have one of the most popular series in recent years. The problem, OKC is not a popular team. SGA's game is not very popular, you know, with the fans as far as being able to watch it, being enjoyable to watch. And the way OKC plays, you know, the swarming defense, you know, that's more harking back to the 90s basketball. And people don't really want to see that. And so I think, you know, if San Antonio can win tonight, and you got to consider this, the popularity of the NBA is worldwide. If Wemby goes into Madison Square Garden, that's huge for the NBA.
100%.
So I think Wemby's jersey sales will shoot straight to the top, especially if they win it all, if San Antonio wins it all. Or if the Knicks win it all, that's going to be huge also, especially, you know, in New York City. And, you know, there's a lot of Knicks fans, and they haven't won in over 50 years. Mm-hmm. So either way in that series, it's going to be a big boom for the NBA, in my opinion. So I just think, you know, the NBA is all about individual players. There could, you know, Wemby has a chance to be one of the, you know, biggest names ever in the history of the league. And his accomplishments, he could also be one of the greatest players. And then you have the Knicks. So those are two compelling stories. The problem, the fly in the ointment is OKC.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like, if they win again, then you got a problem, you know, for the NBA. 100%. That's just my opinion.
I appreciate the phone call, Skip. I think you bring up some good points. I mean, seriously, the numbers worldwide for a Knicks-Spurs NBA Finals, I think, are going to be astronomical. Because Victor Wembanyama is such a star, and he was already a star in my opinion, but having him go off in these playoffs where he is the focal point, I would say, of a majority of the focus this postseason in terms of stars, if he gets to the NBA Finals and then he's playing in the Garden with Ben Stiller and Tracy Morgan and Timothy Chalamet and Kylie Jenner sitting courtside, and all that stuff that goes along with the celebrity row at Knicks games, and say Wemby has a 30-point game at the Garden in the NBA Finals, I mean, come on. The NBA has got to be hoping for that.
Toby, have you seen How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
I have not, no.
So one of the main premises of the movie, it's just about this girl that's like purposely with a bet with her friend trying to see if she can make a guy like not want to date her anymore within 10 days. They go to an NBA Finals game at Madison Square Garden, and she's like making the experience so bad for this guy the entire time, and everyone's saying that like Timothy Chalamet and Kylie Jenner was just like those people in the movie walked so they could run, and like Kylie's so into it now, and Chalamet's like a diehard fan. It's one of the few places, I guess, like Timothy Chalamet goes where he feels like he's not more famous than everyone else, even though he probably still is.
Yeah.
It's so funny, though. Yeah, I love that storyline.
Well, and to the NBA's credit, you know, I think some of the stuff that the NBA does with celebrities can be a little bit too much at times and a little bit annoying. But when it comes to what they do with celebrities being at games, especially when it comes to the Knicks or the Lakers, is so good. And it's different because if you turn on a baseball game, the only way that you're going to see the celebrity sitting in the crowd is if they're sitting front row behind the plate, you know, within that range that you can see every single time. The only chance that you're going to see some celebrity being at a football game in a box is if they show them on a camera angle for 10 seconds. They're like, oh, look, LeBron's at the Super Bowl, or, you know, look who else is here. When you're watching an NBA game and Celebrity Row's there, every time they come down the floor, oh, there's Timothy Chalamet again. There he goes again. There's Tracy Morgan, right? Like, there's all the guys again. So it's cool how much it adds to it. But I think for the NBA's sake, they really got to be hoping that Wemby and the Spurs win, because Wemby is such a big superstar. One thing about OKC, and maybe it would be different if this were a different team, and maybe if it weren't the Oklahoma City Thunder that were the team trying to go back-to-back, maybe we'd feel a little bit differently because they're not very popular. I think one of the things that kills OKC's popularity, because I don't think it's the market, because I think you could look at that Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Jeff Green, Oklahoma City teams, and they were uber popular. Everybody was rooting for them against the Heat, right? Like, that was a fun basketball team. So I don't think it's the market. I think it's the amount of guys that are gimmick players on their team or play a certain style that is exaggerated on their team. Lou Dort just fouls people the entire time that he guards them, but he's got a reputation as a good defender, so he gets away with it. SGA, we talk about the flopping, right? Like, there are so many guys on that team that play that way, and it's effective. If you can get away with it, they clearly are effective. Look at where they're at, right? Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, defending champs. Like, they've found the recipe to win basketball games, but it's not nearly as fun. Like, when you're watching the Warriors go with Steph Curry, they're moving the basketball. Steph shooting threes from way downtown. Draymond Green setting picks. And even they found their stuff with some of the moving screens and whatnot. LeBron, when he's going, they're moving the ball. And you think back to the Heat days, they're throwing lobs and all those sorts of things. That's fun to watch. The Thunder are not fun to watch at all.
Basketball is such a different sport because it doesn't really matter if you win. Like, winning is not enough for people to be interested in you in basketball, which is not common at all compared to other sports. In football, if you win all the time, everybody's going to love you. Everyone's going to think that you are incredible. You play amazing. But basketball, there's so many different ways that you can win a game, and the OKC Thunder have kind of perfected this way of doing it in a way that's not that aesthetically pleasing unless you're a fan of the team. So that's why people, in a way, have like decided to boycott it. They don't like it. They think it's bad for the sport. But it kind of just underscores the way basketball fans view the sport overall. They're more inclined to following players, liking what players are doing, correct, more than the team success thing. Because if people just cared about team success, everyone would go crazy about what OKC has done over the last couple of seasons, going from a team that was rebuilding, tanking for a couple of seasons, to being one of the hardest teams to beat right now. Yeah, I said tanking. Yes, Chris Russell. Call in.
Did OKC tank?
According to Chris Russell, no.
Someone get him on the horn and tell him that OKC tanked.
He's probably listening. He's always listening.
Rooster, call in if so. I mean, at some point, I want to get into these new anti-tanking rules. Apparently, Chris Russell thinks they're the greatest thing ever. I want to tell you why they're the stupidest thing ever. But regardless, I just think you're right that the league is built on stars, and I don't know who the next star is. We've thought for years, like, we're trying to pick that next guy. Oh, is it Jason Tatum? No, it's not Jason Tatum. Is it Jaylen Brown? No, it's not Jaylen Brown. Is it SGA? Clearly it's not, because he's the back-to-back MVP and no one seems to like him, right? Is it Wemby? I think it is, but I've also thought that about three or four different guys to take the next mantle from LeBron, and they haven't taken it yet. I think Wemby can because of how unique of a player he is. There's so few guys now, because of the history of the league, there's so few guys that you can go, yeah, that's a unicorn in terms of the history of this league. I think you can say that about Wemby. There's not many guys that have played like him at his size and look the way that he does, going about how fluid he is being over 7 feet tall. It's incredible.
Toby, hear me out. How much does it matter what city the star is playing in your opinion?
A little bit. Not as much as you would think.
Here's my thing with, like, Tatum. Although Tatum's not good enough, I don't think, to be the face of the league, I'd have a very hard time making somebody playing in Boston the face of the league just because I hate their team so much. I think a lot of people outside of Boston hate Boston sports teams because of how envious people are that they've won so much over the last 25 years or so.
So you're saying you have to be in a team that isn't just naturally hated? Because, like,
I think it matters a bit. I know Darius Dameron loves Jason Tatum and the Celtics, but it's a completely different thing, in my opinion, because I remember when Brady was winning all the Super Bowls with the Patriots, I couldn't stand him. But the second he went to Tampa Bay and won, I was like, that's the GOAT. That's 7 Super Bowls right there. I was fine with him in Tampa, not in New England.
No, I think it's an interesting point because when you think about it, LeBron started in Cleveland. Nobody just naturally hates Cleveland. Maybe they hate the city, but they didn't hate the Cavaliers, right? And then maybe as time went on that you start to grow in favor of LeBron. Steph Curry, same sort of way, right? Nobody really hated Golden State. So that is interesting. Like, you follow LeBron around, there are plenty of people that hate the Lakers, but they had already been LeBron fans, right? I think that is an interesting point. Maybe it does in that sense. I think from the opposite sense, though, like, I think Giannis was a face of the league for a year or two, right? And he's in Milwaukee. So it's not like the small market thing isn't as big of a deal.
No, I don't think small or big market necessarily matters that much. Being in a bigger market definitely helps because there's more fans of those teams just as a byproduct of the market. But, like, Milwaukee, inconsequential. Nobody was mad that the Bucks won a championship.
Exactly.
They hadn't won a championship, so everyone's like, okay.
That was their second. They hadn't won in 50 years.
Right. They hadn't won in such a long time. So everyone's like, all right, I'm cool with that. Giannis is a up-and-coming superstar, face-of-the-league guy. We can roll with this. San Antonio, though, they were on a dynasty and won 5 titles in 20 years or 15 years, whatever it was. So now are people kind of against that?
I don't think people are against San Antonio. Not with this. It's a totally different San Antonio. I think San Antonio under Popovich had a certain aura about it that some people didn't like. This is a different San Antonio. There's no Tim Duncan. There's no Tony Parker, like, carryover to this one.
Riddle me this perspective then. One of my friends hates the Spurs because the team's been built based on lottery luck, and his Pacers didn't even get a draft pick this year because they fell out of the lottery. So he's envious of the Spurs for getting 3 top 5 picks in a row and then the best prospect since LeBron.
That's completely valid. I think that's completely valid. If you're looking at it salty that they got Wemby, sure, I can understand that. But I think that Wemby's the next superstar. I think that this is maybe the most obvious one for me for him to take over in terms of unique talent, really good player, and then there's an aura about Wemby. He's not maybe as, like, charismatic as a LeBron or something like that at the podium. And, I mean, you saw his post-game interview after Game 6 with Ashley Shamati. Like, it wasn't very impressive. But there's an aura about him. And there's something unique about the way that he goes about his business. I think NBA fans could get behind. So it'll be interesting. All right, I want to talk about the anti-tanking rules next in the NBA. I hate them. I think they're really stupid. I think Adam Silver is not doing the league any good. And I think they're even admitting that they're not sure that these are the best because they're only locking it in for 3 years. So I think they're even hesitant to say that these are the best changes for it. Let's talk about it next. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. Toby Altizer with you on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 3:30. Taking you up until Nats baseball. We'll dive into the Nationals at 2 o'clock. Want to talk with the Forbes business guy talking about baseball, Maury Brown at 2:30. But right now we're still talking about the NBA. There are new anti-tanking rules going into effect next season. And I just think this is so dumb. I think it's so dumb. I think Adam Silver spends way too much time worrying about tanking and not the real problems with the NBA. I think he's so worried about tanking, thinking that's the biggest issue. And I'm not saying it's not an issue, because having a large amount of your team's not trying is an issue. But I also think that part of the reason that it is an issue is the lottery. I think you look at other leagues, and I know baseball has implemented a lottery, and I'm not a big fan of that for their draft. Their draft's different, though, because of the fact that you're going to draft a guy, and you're not going to see him probably for 2 to 3 years, and the occasional time you'll see him after a season, but that's very rare. So it's a little different there. The NFL doesn't have a lottery. I guess hockey does have a lottery, but that's more similar to baseball in that it generally takes a little bit of time for the guys to develop as well. But I think you've got to let teams that have poor infrastructure in terms of their rosters get good players. And how else are you supposed to get good players than other through the draft, right? You look at how the NBA is nowadays. Free agency is not a big thing anymore. So I can't get my star player there. If I'm going to get a star player, it probably has to be through a trade, which that means I have to have an asset that can match up salaries or is worth something to the team I'm trading them to, or I have to draft that guy to get my talent. So I don't know how you expect teams that are in a bad spot to get better. I know that they can spend more money and try to be better with role players, but if the ultimate goal is to win an NBA Finals, then I need to get the best players to do that. And I mean, we've seen it with this team. I love the idea, Strobes, and this is one of the things that frustrates me. I love the idea of these national pundits talking about the Wizards winning the number one overall pick. And like, yeah, the Wizards have been terrible for a long time. They've been tanking for years. No, they haven't been tanking for years. They've done it for a little while since Will Dawkins and company took over. They just sucked before that. There's a difference between being just an awful organization that tries to win but doesn't know how and consciously tanking. I think you can admit that the last couple of seasons, this team has been consciously tanking to an extent. But they also went about it the correct way this season, because look at all the teams that got fined and stuff, and the Wizards were not one of them.
They gave 70% of their minutes to players under 24 years old.
That's the correct way to do it.
Young players are not good basketball players most of the time, except for a couple of exceptions of players that are going to be super special long-term in this league. It takes time for a lot of these NBA-level players to reach their true potential. That's why it takes a little bit longer for a guy like Alex Saar or Keyshawn George to really be productive every day. NBA players. They'll have a couple flashes in their first couple years of their career, like a la what we saw from Saar and George this year as well, but they're going to struggle in games. And if you're playing the majority of minutes and allowing them the opportunity to make mistakes constantly without much retribution for it, you're going to lose a lot. That was the goal. That was the plan.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way that the Wizards have gone about this, I can fully get on board with. Other teams, not as much. What the Wizards have done, though, where they just play their young guys, and essentially Alex Saar, Keyshawn George, take your pick of the young guys drafted over the last couple of years, even a Bilal Coulibaly, those guys have played substantial minutes that they wouldn't have gotten with better ball clubs. But that's the way that they can learn on the fly. And I just don't think that this new lottery system, flattening odds, rewarding teams that are just outside the playoffs potentially, I don't see how that helps the league. I don't. So, like, the interesting part about this is someone put together, I think it was Tankathon. See if I can find where they... Yeah, Tankathon ran 4 test simulations with the new lottery system applied to this year's standings. All right, you ready? This is how it would have played out their first time they ran it. Dallas would have picked first overall again. Utah picking second. Sacramento third. Charlotte 4th, Brooklyn 5th, New Orleans picking 6th, that pick goes to Atlanta, Memphis 7, Clippers 8, that goes to OKC, Chicago, Indiana, oh, there's the Wizards down at 11.
No pick, by the way.
Yeah, they would have lost a pick.
In all 4 of those simulations, they had no pick.
Let's try it again. Where do the Wizards pick? 10th. Let's try it again. Where do the Wizards pick? 9th. Let's try it one more time. Where do the Wizards pick? 9th. That would have been Milwaukee picking first, which goes to Atlanta. That would have been Miami picking first. That would have been Atlanta picking first via New Orleans in another simulation. How does that help anything? Seriously, how does that help? Imagine this scenario played out, Strobes. Let's just play this out. Imagine the Wizards got stuck in this scenario. How do they get better? How do they get better?
It's almost impossible. But here's the further point I want to make with this for Wizards fans specifically. What's the one thing Wizards fans have had over the last 3 years, Toby? You know what that is? It's hope.
Yeah.
It's the hope that you might get a top pick, somebody that's actually good enough to get you to the contention status that you want this team to be at that hasn't been there in a long, long time. If this is a realistic possibility where, let's say, you only win 17 games like the Wizards did this year and you get the 12th pick, what hope do you have anymore?
Well, and the funny part is, I think if you asked fans in the cities of teams that are tanking with a plan that understand where they're going, I don't think they care.
They're on board with it.
I think if you asked most Wizards fans, they'd say, fine. I think if you asked most Sixers fans during the process, they go, yep, I see where they're going. Fine. So who's the problem? Do you think the Lakers fans, when they come in here and play the Wizards because they're tanking, are frustrated because it's not a competitive game? They don't care.
It's never the fans of the team that are angry about it. And I know a certain somebody was saying that the fans of the Wizards should have a class action lawsuit done against Monumental for purposely losing games or whatever the last 3 years. This is what they wanted. Why would they sue the team over doing something they begged them to do for a decade?
Yeah, I mean, this is how you get better. And I don't know. To me, the biggest issue with the NBA is not the tanking. There are stylistic issues, I think, with the NBA. I think the way the game is officiated, I think some of the different things that in terms of play style are more issues with the league than necessarily what the tanking is. But I just think this is ludicrous. I really do. The 3-2-1 system, which we'll break down next, I just don't see how this is the way that things are going to fix. And there's a team getting really screwed in all of this. I want to get into that next. It's not the Wizards. But there's another team that's getting really screwed in all of this. They were the only no vote. It was 29-1. There was only one no vote of the Board of Governors. And they're getting absolutely screwed by this. So we'll talk about that next. You're listening to Toby Altizer on Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. The NBA's biggest issue is not tanking. Someone should alert Adam Silver so that he stops worrying about secondary issues. Toby Altizer with you until 3:30, taking you up until Nationals baseball. Wrapping up NBA discussion, we're getting into the Commanders at 1 o'clock. But I just think looking at this system, I don't know that this solves everything. And I get that you want every team to be trying to win. I get that. But there are ways to make this so that teams are at least able to get better at basketball and compete. That's the tough part about this. Strobes brought it up. Wizards fans have at least had some hope the last couple of years, seeing the way things have gone, seeing the way that you can improve, and now getting the number one overall pick. There has to be some hope given to teams that aren't going to be able to draw in big-time free agents, assuming they hit free agency, that aren't going to be the destination where said superstar wants to force a trade to. That's not going to be DC, or at least it hasn't been. So you've got to find other avenues to be able to improve your team, and the easiest one is through the draft. And it's not to say, to other people's points, namely Chris Russell, it's not to say that going about it in full teardown, tank mode is the right thing to do, always. But I think the way that the Wizards have gone about it is much different than some other teams. But I think when you look at it, too, the way that they've gone about it has allowed some of their young guys to develop, has allowed them to get better, and now you add in one more superstar, hopefully, and you can be going in the right direction. It's also not to be said that you can't find a superstar later in the draft. And it's not like Giannis was drafted number one overall. Steph Curry wasn't drafted number one overall. SGA wasn't drafted number one overall. It also took a little bit longer for at least Giannis and SGA to get to the level of player that they are right now. I mean, Giannis took a couple of seasons. SGA is not even on his original team, right? So it takes a little bit of time. I get that. But I don't know. I just think that they look at tanking as this black eye on the league. And it's not great, I'll admit it. But there are far bigger issues with what's going on in the NBA than the tanking. I think you've got to find a way to address some of the flopping. I think you've got to find a way to... One of my frustrations with watching NBA basketball right now is a lot of teams play the game in the same manner. One of the things that I think makes NCAA basketball fun and makes the tournament fun, and I'm not a guy that's going to pretend like it's, you know, significantly better or anything. I know some people do that. The quality of play in the NBA and shot making is just incredible. It's not even close to what you see in college. But one of the fun things about college basketball, and especially when you're watching the NCAA tournament, is you could turn on one game and you've got a team running down shooting threes within the first 5 seconds of the shot clock every single time. You could have another team using all 30 and playing great defense. You could have another team that's trying to play bully ball inside. You could have another team that is running pick and rolls. You could have another team that's, you know, five out and everybody's cutting and doing all sorts of different things. You could have one team playing small, one team playing big. In the NBA, you see a lot of the same sorts of things. And I get it, they're all professionals, so, you know, it's a little more difficult. And I do think that there is a difference in the intensity, obviously, in the playoffs, that you never really see in the regular season, specifically on the defensive end. I also think, too, it's incredibly difficult to play defense in the NBA when everything is ruled a foul. So why would I try? Why would I go give full effort when I can't even contest a jump shot with you without you awarding three free throws because the guy fell down? And I get you have to protect players. I remember watching the Kawhi injury just like you do, and why you have to protect jump shooters and all those sorts of things. But I think we've lost the point a little bit here. I think you've lost the plot. And unfortunately for the NBA, you know, I think there are some improvements we saw this season in terms of media coverage. You know, I do think that NBC was good to add to the crew. I think that Amazon was good to add. I think part of the issue, though, too, with that is it used to be that you got into a rhythm where TNT was on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you had ESPN on Wednesdays and other nights, and so you knew where NBA games were. Part of the reason I didn't watch as much NBA this year, I had no idea where the games were. No idea. And I'm not going to look it up every time. Part of the beauty of putting games on, national games on, whether it's basketball, baseball, obviously the NFL so much is centered around it, you know where the games are being played at. But part of the beauty of it is, I'm just scrolling around figuring out to what to watch on a random night. And, oh, okay, Timberwolves are playing, I'll watch them. Okay, the Knicks are playing, great, I'll watch them. Doesn't happen as much right now with what's going on in the NBA. So they've got to find a way to get that back and make it so that people are going out of their way to watch their product, even just like passively seeing it. Oh, okay, that game's on. The amount of times that I'd see, oh, there's a game on Amazon tonight. Forgot they even had that. Like, that can't happen in the NBA.
And to put a button on the points that you're making right here, I think the media also needs to do a good job of really putting the NBA on blast for what the true issues are. If you're going to have people that are going crazy scrutinizing the league over the tanking stuff and not the real issues like the flopping and a lot of the other things that have made the league become what it is now, then they're never going to make the change. Like, Adam Silver has to realize as the commissioner what the actual problems are with the product right now, and they've failed to do that for years.
Well, and part of the other issue, if we're talking about the media, talk about basketball. I don't need to hear about, oh, this guy should be going to here because that'd be good to have him linked up with here. They need to get this guy out of this city and put him here. Let's talk about the actual hoops. That's some of the refreshing part when you actually watch some of the new stuff, is they actually talk about the hoops. Whether you like the guys that are talking about it or not, that's another thing. But talk hoops. And say what you want about inside the NBA. I know they don't always talk hoops. They're unique. They're the exception. They get to do whatever they want. Everybody else, though, break down hoops. That's why when you see the clips about John Wall, Blake Griffin, those guys, they're talking hoops. Great. I don't need to hear any more about, hey, we should get Giannis out of Milwaukee. We should get him here. Hey, we should do this. Enough with the TMZ-style rumors. I don't care about that. It shouldn't be a gossip league, but that's what it's turned into. I don't know. I could ramble about the NBA and some of my frustrations about them. Used to be must watch. Doesn't feel that way as much anymore. But tonight's game, I think, is going to be spectacular. So we'll see what kind of final series gets matched up tonight with the Western Conference Finals Game 7. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's get into the Commanders. Wide receiver room. Do you think that the guys behind Terry McLaurin are good enough to get it done? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.